Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 318, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The stone rejected and despised is now the cornerstone. How wondrous are the ways of God, unfathomed and unknown. How wondrous are the ways of God, unfathomed and unknown. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 318.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the last book of the Bible, and thereof Revelation chapter 5. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelations chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-powerful and all-wise, all-sufficient and all-merciful God of heaven and of earth, who hast received thy dear and only begotten and beloved Son, even into thine own throne, that he may sit with thee, and that he may rule at thy right hand, carrying forth all thy counsel, and all thy decree, and all thy will, for the salvation, for the redemption of thy church and this world, to bring it all to fruition. And we have heard of those who have sung, and thou art worthy. Oh, give it also in the hearts of each and every one of us. For there is no reason for thy people to weep any more. For all things are given into thy hand, and thy church may see it by moments, and by faith may also sing, and may also rejoice when they may see the truth, and when they may see the reality of all things. Oh, that thou may give it, Lord, also in our days, in the midst of thy church, in the midst of thy people, that they may be given the exercises of that blessed believing, that faith that is from thee, and that they might see who and what thou art for them, that they might know that they are included in the same, and that they may also receive that song in their heart. And thy church was waiting on that day when thou didst descend into heaven, and when that Sabbath day did come, and then all were together in the midst of one another, and in prayer and supplication and in praises unto thee. Lord, they were waiting for the promise that thou wouldst fulfill what thou hadst spoken unto them. And they were waiting for thy Holy Spirit, and they were asking that thou wouldest pour it forth upon them. O Lord, remember us too, for thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thy people also do wait. May thou give it in the midst of us an active waiting. For we are creatures that do wait by nature so passively that we have no desire in our heart. We do not wait with praying. We do not wait with fervency. But we wait with an accusation in our heart against a sovereign God, whom we will never be able to blame. O Lord, that thou may give us new hearts, hearts of flesh that love thee. O pour it out upon us and upon our dear children, that we may receive the drawing of thy Holy Spirit, that we might know, even as thy bride, what is necessary. When she did say, "Draw me," we will run after thee. Oh, that thou may give in the midst of thy people also such a desire for a renewing of thy spirit, that they also may be awakened from a so common sloth, that they may be given that spirit of grace and of supplications, and that they may also be in a prayer upon their knees for the sake of thy church as it was in that Sabbath day, that there may be a storming of thy throne of grace, truly believing that thou wilt give it as thou hast promised, and that thou would build thy kingdom in the midst of this world. And may it be also in our days, because this world is not yet ended. And thou art pleased to give us, O Lord, and our dear children, a time and a space in the midst of this world, an opportunity also for receiving that blessed grace. Oh, that thou may also do it with thy own powerful hand. For then it is not only an offer unto us, then it would be so completely impossible, because we have no desire, because we have an evil heart and disposition, because we are bent to nothing but the ways of sin after the fall. But when thou wilt stretch forth thy right hand, and when thou wilt give to us those hearts that are renewed, and by thy Holy Spirit, oh, how we shall run after thee, Lord. How we shall say to one another, taking one another by the hand to say, come, and let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Oh, let us love Him, let us serve Him, and let us draw nigh to Him in all of our need, in all of our guilt, in all of our pollution, in all of our corruption. Let us bow there before His face. Come and let us kneel before Him. Let us confess unto Him our iniquity. For He is gracious and ready to forgive. O Lord, look upon us as a congregation. Then there are so many, especially among us that are young families, fathers and mothers, youth and children. Lord, then it is in the youth that thou dost say to seek me early, then thou shalt find me. That thou may give such a seeking in the midst of us, that all together we also, with those of us who are becoming older and who have become old already, that all together our hearts may be affected by thy Holy Spirit, that it may not be but an outward impression, but thou art able to give power. And when that Holy Spirit is come upon us, to give us a new heart of flesh that may long and that may love thee and that may serve thee, that may desire to flee from sin, that may desire to be in thy presence and to receive thy favor and thy blessing above all that can be found in this world. Do remember the sick and the afflicted, those that are recovering from surgeries. Wilt thou bless the means? Remember him that layeth in the hospital. Lord, thou knowest his condition, that thou may visit him with thy Holy Spirit upon this bed of sickness, and that thou may instruct him in the things of thee, that thou may heal him also, that thou may raise him up for his wife and his little children, and that thou may make him a monument of thy great grace and thy long suffering. Remember all those that do mourn. Remember also those that miss, that thou may be near unto all widows, widowers, and orphans, be with all that are abused in this world. Thou knowest their place, and so often it is that they have no power against those that do come against them, but that they may receive a cry to heaven, and that they might know and experience that thou art the omniscient and the all-knowing and the all-powerful one, that thou may draw to thy footstool for the need of our souls, Do look upon the needs of our denomination. Thou knowest all the teachers in our schools. Lord, that Thou may increase their number, and that Thou may give also the grace unto them, that they so stand in need of to stand before our children and our youth, to instruct them with patience and long-suffering day by day, and that they may receive a blessing and be a blessing in the midst of our families, to help us as fathers and as mothers, to instruct our children in that one thing that is needful, and for all the things that are necessary for this life. Give our children and youth impressions also of that great eternity and the need of their souls. And when we might hear of those that are taken away from distant places, also in the days of childhood and youth, Lord, that we may receive warning from Thee, and that we might hasten for our life's sake, for there is nothing from our side that does make us to differ. Do remember all Thy truly sent servants, increase their number also, and wilt Thou remember the student, the teachers, and all that are involved in our own theological school, the curatorium that hopes soon to meet next week. Give us wisdom from above, and could it please Thee to gladden us with Thy deeds. Wilt Thou be with us also in this hour, and when we are called to bring Thy word and to explain the mysteries of Thy kingdom. Lord, who is sufficient for these things, for we are but ignorant creatures here below, and Thy word is so full of substance, but it is for us hidden until Thou wilt open it by Thy Spirit. Oh, we beseech Thee for Thy presence. We beseech Thee for Thy nearness, and that Thou would send forth Thy Spirit in this hour. Grant us a good hour together in Thy favor, that it truly may be good to be together, that there may be a moving of Thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, for Thou alone can do it. And take away then all of our many, many sins, and do look upon us in and through the blood of Him whom Thou always hearest. We ask it in His name, in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 418, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise the Lord, ye lands. Nations, clap your hands. Shout aloud to God. Spread His fame abroad. Praise Him loud and long, and with a triumph song. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 418. Thank you. Beloved congregation, it is the Lord by His Spirit who preaches from the housetops that which is experienced in the inner chambers of His own people. True faith recognizes this. True faith concurs with this as that which is true, as that which is real, as that which is precious. The disciples of the Lord at the ascension of Christ could not penetrate through and the cloud that received Him out of their sight. But we have heard that the Lord has, 60 years later, opened a door in heaven so that the Apostle John may then see something of what has taken place. And thus the Lord revealed unto John the state and the condition and also something of the future of both Christ and His church. The Apostle John could only concur with what he did see and with what he did hear, because Luke writes about the ascension and the apostles and that they worshipped Him when He ascended and that they returned unto Jerusalem with great joy. That they were there together in the temple praying and that they were praising God. And now John, he is shown something. By faith, John and his brethren, they had experienced something of what now John, 60 years later, may see by the revelation of the Lord. And we wish with the Lord's help to consider something of that with you out of the words of our text, Revelation 5, and there are verses 8, 9, and 10. Revelation 5, 8 through 10. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So far the words of our text, which speaks about a new song with three simple points, boys and girls. A new song. First, the occasion of this song. Second, the singers of this song. And third, the stanzas of this song, or what they did sing. Thus, a new song, first the occasion, second the singers, and third the stanzas. Thus, our text speaks about a song. Do you like, boys and girls, do you like also young people to sing? What do you sing, young people? Because this world is also full of songs. And with the songs of this world, and they try to take away the sorrows of the weepers of this world, but it does not work. There are also many songs in this world that are simply evil, that are simply wicked, which is devilish, because the devil makes men to sing about sin. And all such songs they are going to end soon in weeping. God created man to sing. That was to sing to Him, and that is the original purpose of all of the creation of the Lord. We know that by the instigation of Satan, and that this singing has ceased in the world. But we can read in the book of Revelation, and especially the words of our text, that the Lord is restoring and this singing of His creation. Thus, for the church, eternity will be filled with singing. Will that be for us too? That is heaven's work. But that is not learned in heaven. No, that is learned already here in the world. What is that? To sing. Because there is the outward part, and that is good, that is beautiful. And then we love to hear it. Our congregation, when you do sing. So there is the outward part that is done with our body that is created by God. But then there is also an inward part, because that outward part can be very lacking of that which is inward, and that is actually where the substance of the song is residing. That is where the work of the Lord is being done in His people. So Paul speaks about a singing and a making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Do you ever do that? God's people often weep. But God's people also sing. And that is the restoration. That is now what is going to be the future of God's children. So that time is approaching where the Lord is going to take away from His people all weeping. And He is going to wipe away all their tears. And there will be nothing left for their church but to sing. They will sing with their heart. They will sing with their mouth. Oh, what shall that be? Our text speaks about singing. It says they sung a new song. Thus, it is distinguishing here. This is a song that has never been sung before. It is new. And why is it new? It is new because there is a very special occasion for it being sung. We know that when the children of Israel were brought through the sea, that Miriam went before them with timbrels and dancing, and she led that people in song. Oh, they sang unto God. And there was good reason. There was a very special occasion that they may sing unto the Lord, she says. Oh, does your heart ever find a special occasion to sing unto the Lord? What is that now about? Because sometimes God's people do not even know what that is all about. Do you know when they begin to sing, boys and girls? God's people begin to sing when the Lord gives to them a new heart. You say, I thought they began to be sorrowful then. I thought they began to weep. Oh, you are right. They begin to weep. But they also begin to sing. Is that not a mystery? But I hope that you also may learn something of that mystery. What that is in your own life, in the experience of your life. Oh, the Lord is so tender. When He works in the life of His people, the work of the Lord that is so loving, the work of the Lord that is so drawing unto the heart of a man, it is so pleasant. Do you believe that the work of the Lord, young people, is pleasant? You say, I do not see their pleasantness. I see them weeping. I see them sorrowing. Or do you know that even in the tears of God's children, there is pleasantness? Do you believe that? It is true. So how can that be? Well, those tears, oh, they are bitter indeed. And yet, it is good to return unto God. It is good to return unto God. And thus, when the Lord is turning a man, and he is bringing him back unto himself, oh, then those tears that the Lord gives to his people, they are such sweet tears. We read in God's word about his children and God's people. They are born. And then in the beginning, they are actually so young. And now when you are young, boys and girls, you are not so, you do not know yet so many things. And they don't either, about God, about themselves, about the salvation of the Lord. And yet sometimes their heart that is just filled with singing. They cannot explain that, but it is filled with the love of the Lord. What do they say? They say, I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. That is what they say. They sing, or they do not know what grace is yet. And yet their heart that is filled with him, it is filled with the love of the Lord. Or we say an occasion. Do you know what the occasion is? When that people will sing, they sing when it is the Sabbath day. Or when they arise in the morning, they say, I have not to go to work today, but I may go up with the people of the Lord to the house of the Lord. Then there is the desire in their heart that they may receive the favor of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, that they may sing unto the Lord, that they may pray unto the Lord. Oh, is that not pleasant? Oh, that life of grace. And then there are more occasions wherein God's children, they are given to sing. Why is that? Because there are steps, there are points in that life of grace. And the Lord, he is teaching that people to sing. The Apostle Paul says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And there are times that people may sing with the Spirit, but their understanding is so small. They do not understand really the things that they are singing about. And yet that singing is so sweet because the Lord fills the heart of his people with that singing. But now more and more, as the Lord is instructing his people, and that the Lord is leading his people into the mysteries of salvation, then more and more, then the Lord is teaching his people to sing with understanding. And then they receive an occasion by times. What is the occasion we read here in our text? We heard that already. We heard that on Thursday evening. And now it is stated here once again, because we read, and when he had taken the book. And now we all know what is meant by that. Is that not now a very special occasion? Or the moment that lamb that was slain is received by his Father. Oh, that moment that lamb that is slain is given the administration of the kingdom of God, that he may carry forth everything that his Father has given unto him to do. There is so much that has gone before this time. Oh, for the church, we have heard that through the passions, what a difficult way that was for them, but also for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that way that he had to go and the cross upon which that he had to suffer and to die and to be buried and to rise again, oh, then there is so much that has gone before this moment. And now it is in this moment that the Father, when he gives that book into the hand of his Son, that he is acknowledging, that the Father is acknowledging everything that his Son has accomplished. That the Father does say that what the Son has finished, that is a work wherewith he himself is satisfied. Thus it is a moment for the Son, a very great honor. Oh, we see also coming up, young people, is your graduation from school. Then your friends will be there, and your parents will be there, and they will congratulate you what you have now accomplished. Oh, and now you say, what is that? What is that? That is right. What is that? But what now has the Lord Jesus done for the salvation of his church, and now to be recognized even by his own Father? A new song. It is a song of redemption. That is not a redemption that has been promised only. That is a redemption that now has been accomplished. Thus, it is a song which never was sung before, because that price is now actually paid by that Lamb that is slain. And that human nature of man is now glorified to a height that it could never have been glorified to, outside of that decree of God and everything that the Son of God has accomplished. Oh, if the fall was now reason to weep, is not this a thousand more times reason for the entire creation to sing? And indeed, you cannot find such a song. Such a song as in these verses. Or you cannot find such a song in the midst of all the worldly songs that you can sing here below. But it is being sung. And who is it being sung by? And that is our second thought. And then we want to see here the singers. And we see here there are three groups of singers. Thus, the one begins, and then the others join. They follow. Is that not now beautiful? Is that not according also to the reality, to the way that it is experienced in the midst of this world, in the midst of God's own church? Because Solomon says that heaviness maketh the heart of man to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. So there is a spreading of that gladness and that blessedness among that true church of God. Oh, the Lord Jesus himself says, he says that the kingdom of God that is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And we see that here. Then there is a beginning, and then more are following, and more yet are following. Oh, is the Lord not so, so good? Is he not so gentle with his people? Is he not so good unto his people in all the way that he is restoring them and this creation in all the doings that are written in this book? Who begins the singing? We read that. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Thus, who are they? Children, you can tell me now. Who that these are, you say, oh, that is the church of God. We have heard that those four beasts with all of those eyes in and without, oh, that spirit of the Lord that is working in the heart of his people, and then also the office, the place that he has given them in this world, that eldership, and they are sitting on those seats, on those thrones before the Lord. Thus it is the church. Thus it is the redeemed church of God, and they are the ones who begin. They begin to sing. It starts with them. Are they not now the ones that are most affected? Are they not the ones that are receiving the greatest benefit? Or are they not the ones that have been lifted from the lowest, from the deepest pit? Are they not the ones that have been raised into the highest place? When they see them sitting upon the thrones before that throne of God, it isn't any wonder then that song, that new song is beginning, that it is starting with them. When they do see that lamb that was slain, when he is receiving that book out of the right hand of him that sitteth upon the throne, then it is instantaneous. Oh, then they cannot do otherwise but begin to sing. Oh, does John receive a revelation then from the Lord? And that is strange unto that true church of God. John, to that church here, he may say what he may hear, what he may see. And when that church may be led into it, then they may hear something. Oh, they say, that is not strange with me. Oh, then I do not know that singing as it is in heaven. But remember that this is not about that heavenly kingdom only, but it is how the Lord is working here also upon the midst of the earth. And how that church, as it is being redeemed here below, that is rupturing into song. So what is the Lord doing? The Lord is leading his people. No, not everyone may be led into those same points. But, then there are some of them that the Lord may instruct, and that he may teach, and that he may lead even unto the further steps in which he instructs his people. And then they may see something, even as the Apostle John has seen. And then by faith, they may know that he has that book in his hand, and that all that power that is given unto him. Oh, then there may be something of a believing in their heart. And then all the fears there being taken away. Oh, then they may rejoice. Oh, then they cannot do anything else but rejoice for themselves and to rejoice for that blessed church of God. Do you know what we read here? We read that they are equipped. What are they given? They are given, boys and girls, a harp. A harp. So we would say here a little organ. And who gives them that harp? They say the Lord gives them that harp. That is right. And who does he give that harp to? He gives that harp to his people. He gives that harp to his redeemed. And what does that mean? The Lord, he is equipping his people. He is giving them what they need in order that they may sing. So he is restoring the song, the singing that has been taken away by Satan. When Satan did bring death and weeping into this world and unto the people of the Lord, then the Lord is now restoring unto them that singing. He gives unto them harps, so that they are able to make melody in their heart unto the Lord. Oh, maybe they are not so good at singing with their mouth. Oh, you may do that anyway. But with their heart that people learn to sing, because it is the Lord Himself that is giving unto them that harp and that is equipping them to sing. Oh, could I make you jealous today of the people of the Lord? Oh, could I make you jealous today of the blessings that the Lord is giving unto His people? That we could say, congregation, will you come along? Oh, do you not have a desire to leave now? Everything in this world that is making man to weep, that will only end in weeping. And will you now see a little bit? Oh, to study this, that was congregation, really, we must say it was so good to be able to study this little portion. Oh, to see the blessedness wherein the Lord is blessing His people. And then our heart that goes out to you, oh, that we could be used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord to make you so jealous of that blessed portion that the Lord gives to us through His holy word, and that the Lord is making a distinction, a separation between us and so many in this world. Oh, then we would say to you, do you not see the beauty? Do you not see the blessedness over everything that is possible to receive in this world and that is soon all going to perish? They receive harps. They receive harps. Oh, when we sing, oh, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. You know, how must we sing? We must sing orderly. You know what it says in the Old Testament? And when Solomon, they built a temple, and then it says when the trumpets and the people were one, when they were one, when they were together, or when they were one in heart and in song, oh, then the Spirit of the Lord came into that temple. And then that cloud filled the temple of the Lord. Oh, the Lord will have us to be one also in that song, all of us singing together. The Lord will have us to be, we read in God's word, reverent. He will have us to be solemn in that singing of His praises. Oh, the Lord will have us to sing with beauty, because there is a representation also in that singing of the beauty of that service of the Lord. Oh, lifting up the heart unto the Lord, always fitting, always suitable to the words that are being sung. And oh, then you say, ah, it is only outward. It is only outward. Read Brockle. Oh, and what he says about singing, our duty to sing. Do you sing to young people? Do you sing to? That is not just something the Lord says, well, you may do. No, we were created to do that, that we have to do that. Do we hear all of you? And does the Lord also hear all of you? And does the Lord hear a voice that is coming from your heart? A melody that is being sung within your heart, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Oh, there are so many of the psalms that we sing. They are actually a prayer. They are a prayer unto God. And now we hear that the prayers of the saints, they are coming out of a golden vial that is a very precious, precious metal. And that is now so precious in the eyes of the Lord. Or is our voice, or is that now raised up unto God in song? With the desires of the heart, with the need of the heart, with the acknowledgement of who that He is. Oh, praise and prayer. They are now the offerings of the New Testament, not the sacrifices of the Old Testament, but those precious and beautiful offerings of prayer and praise. That is now only the beginning of that singing, because we read a second group. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. So that is the church, the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That means that it is innumerable, that they cannot be counted. So the angels now are joining in with that song of the redeemed, the holy angels. They have never sinned. They have always desired to live for the Lord. They have always served the Lord in a perfect way. They are not receiving the benefits here in the same way as the church, the redeemed church, is receiving the benefits, and yet they are rejoicing with that church. It is a church whom they are sent to minister unto from the Lord. We can read that they were sent to Abraham, they were sent to Lot, or they are sent to God's children in the midst of this world, and they are not without empathy for all the condition, for the need of that church of God. And now they also do join in this song, and they are not without great love unto that Son of God, and greatly affected when he is raised to that throne and when he is given such a blessed place. But that is still not the end, because now there is also a third group, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth, every creature and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that is in them, heard I. Oh, he heard them. He heard them singing. He heard them joining the redeemed and joining the angels, so that the whole earth, the entire universe, that is erupting in song to join the redeemed and those angels. What is that? Oh, that is a creation that is so completely restored. That is now a picture of the end and the purpose of the Lord in the redemption and the salvation of his church. After Satan and all the followers of Satan, they're put away and they are cast in that eternal pit. And then that creation is restored unto its original purpose. Let us sing 111, 1 and 2. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1 and 2 of 111. a new song. First, the occasion. Second, the singers. And our last thought, the stanzas. And how many stanzas are there in this song? Well, then, like the singers, there are three, because that redeemed church begins, and the angels join in, and the universe joins last. And then finally we see that there is a conclusion. Thus we have the four beasts and the 24 elders begin, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Oh, he is worthy of the crown. He is worthy of receiving, we read here, authority. And what makes him to be worthy? That is the cross. "For thou wast slain." Well, that is not his entire worthiness, because he has also all worthiness in himself, because he is God, because he is the Son of God. But here, then, it is they are singing especially about his mediatorial authority. That is something that was earned by him. We are not worthy. Do we ever feel our unworthiness? And why are we not worthy? Because we had something to earn, but we never earned it. Do you earn it, boys and girls, when your mother and father say you must be obedient? And well, then we are not so obedient, are we? We heard the Ten Commandments now. And then you can only say, "Oh, we are so unworthy." And thus that church that is in themselves so unworthy, oh, they need to find somewhere worth. Somewhere there must be worth. Otherwise, salvation is so completely impossible. Now, David, children, you know, he said, "Whosoever getteth up first to the gutter, he will be chief and captain." He is going to be the ruler. He is going to be the commander of my whole army. And then Joab, who liked to have that first place, then he was first. And so he, we read, was the chief. Indeed, then he earned that place. Now you say the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus was appointed. Oh, that is so true. But the Lord Jesus was also anointed. What does that mean? That means that he was given the qualities to do that work that no one else could do. That he would be able to deliver a people who were guilty from punishment. That he would be able to wash and to cleanse, because of his worthiness, a people that are utterly polluted and corrupt within themselves. Thus, faith, when it may be an exercise, so magnifies him in his worthiness that man is ready to obey him and to submit to him and to follow him, whatever that those ways are that he will lead them. Why? Because he is so worthy. Oh, these are singing not just about heaven. No, they are singing about that kingdom of God, about what is taking place and will take place also in the future, which we hope to see if the Lord will give that in the midst of his church here on earth. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Now, who is singing? Who is singing here, children? Are the angels singing? Not yet. Is the creation singing? Not yet. This is now only the Lord's people. It is only those that are redeemed to God. And you may see, if you look when you come home, the other songs, that this part is missing in the song of the angels and in the song of the creation, because they are not able to sing the same as the redeemed church. That is why Boston says that song of the redeemed will be one pitch higher than the song of the angels, because they know from what they have been delivered. Thou hast redeemed us. And what is redemption? Ah, you say, we know what that is. That is to buy back. When a slave was redeemed in Israel, he was bought back. Someone else paid the price for him. Thou hast redeemed us. And now that new song is sung by the church of God on this special occasion, when the redemption price has been completely paid, and when that lamb that was slain, he is ascending through those clouds, and he is ascending even into the midst of the throne with his Father, and when he is coming to receive that book and the administration of that kingdom out of his Father's hand. And then, oh, and then that redeemed church begins to sing. Oh, congregation, they are brought back. They are brought back unto God. They sing about the redemption. Now I ask you, what are the desires? What is the beginning? What is the beginning of the work of the Lord? Is this not now where the beginning is? With the desires and the missing and the longing and the singing and the weeping, is it not all going out after God? Oh, that I could return again into that blessed communion, that blessed favor of him. Oh, redemption. That is, they don't realize all of that, but they are seeking for the redemption of their soul, to be delivered from sin and to be brought back unto the Lord. That is the beginning. What is now the end? Singing. Singing of that redemption. Oh, go on then. Oh, go on then, because the end of that seeking, the end of that desiring, the end of that longing, that is here singing. Your pit is not too deep. Oh, your guilt is not too great. Your corruption is not too ingrained. Your case, that is not too difficult. Just go on. Just go on. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why not? Oh, you say there are lightnings, there are thunderings, there are voices, they come out of that throne. That is right. May you ever see the rainbow. May you ever see that rainbow that is about that throne. We read in sight like unto an emerald. Oh, the Lord has declared peace, even unto such creatures, through his only begotten Son, redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What are they singing about? Thou hast made a difference, redeemed us in the midst of this whole world. The sovereignty of God, the distinguishing grace of God. Oh, they sing about it. You ever sing about it? Oh, never make that sovereignty of God into a discouragement, because it is not. It is not at all. O congregation, we have been separated already in an outward way. We have been placed in the way by that sovereign, distinguishing work of God. May you ever sing about that? Even that you have a baptized forehead. Even that the Lord gives to us opportunity that there is missing for so many persons in the midst of this world. Oh, the church sings. They magnify the Lord, him that sits upon that throne, for his distinguishing mercies, redeemed us unto God. But what does that mean now? From the side of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you know what that means? Oh, they magnify him, and they say, thou art worthy, and they say, thou hast a right to what? For the administration of the kingdom. Thou hast a right to what? To an inheritance. Thou hast a right to a people who are converted, who are redeemed out of all the world. Thou hast a right to that people. Where did he get that right from? Well, he got that through his own work. He has earned that right. That people are to him a reward. And our congregation, listen to this. This is so beautiful. Oh, when God's children may only see it for a moment, and they may rejoice in that for a moment. Do you know why? Because then I am nothing but a purchased possession. Oh, then they may see that salvation depends on nothing. Nothing that is within themselves. They are on themselves as a ground. They are completely outside of that salvation. Oh, they are only a recipient. Oh, how the church, if they may see that one moment, By a true saving faith, in a believing way, oh, how their heart, true to what the Lord is showing unto John here, is taking place in the life of that church of God. Oh, then their heart, and that is turning into singing. Oh, how firm is the state of God's people. There is nothing that is able to take them out of that church. They are not able to sin it away. Oh, there is no devil. There is no world. There is no enemy that is able to separate that people from him who sits upon that throne. And if they may now only see it, then they sing. Oh, then the fears are taken away for a moment, and then their heart that may so rejoice and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, what do we read of Adam, children? When the Lord made Adam, so he made all the animals, and then and the earth and the creation, and then he made Adam. And then we read that Adam was given dominion. What does that mean? Dominion. That means that he was made king. He was made the king of the whole creation. The whole creation was put under his government and into his hand. He was not afraid of lions. He was not afraid. There was no enemies. And all the elements of nature, they were all under the command of our first father. And now through the fall, and then that was lost. It was not completely lost, not in an outward way, but all sin and many forces of nature, they have now so much power over man. And now what is the fruit of the redemption of Christ? That is the restored dominion over the earth. We shall reign on the earth. And the church already may experience something of what this is. That is, in the exercises of faith. Because Paul says, sin that shall not have dominion over you. And thus, sin that wars against them. And then sometimes they say, I will succumb to it. Or, then I am going to fall and I am also going to fall away. Oh, and then the Lord is coming with his Spirit to give unto his people the exercises of faith. That is believing. And in that believing, oh, then they see him. Oh, they see that lamb that was slain. Oh, then they may see how that sin cannot have dominion over them anymore. And so they are sitting already with the victory. And then they may already sing. Does sin have no effect on them? Oh, sure, Paul, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, but then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, oh, Paul, he may sing. And that people of the Lord, they may sing here on the earth already. And now that innumerable company of angels, we talked about them, and they sing too, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All those angels, holy, never have sinned. So what is now the ground wherein those holy angels, why are those holy angels rejoicing? Well, they rejoice in the salvation of the redeemed. And the salvation of the redeemed that is manifesting and it is displaying in a beautiful way the attributes of the God whom they love, of that God whom they serve. Because outside of this fall and redemption, outside of this decree of the Lord, oh, then the attributes of the Lord, then the mercy of the Lord, then the justice of the Lord in all of its fullness could never have been displayed and manifested in the midst of this world. Oh, they rejoice in that glory of God, and they are rejoicing also in Christ himself. Oh, that he may receive the reins in his hand. Because do you know that he is also the head of the elect angels? And being now the head of the elect angels, and now to have the complete reins in his hand over everything that is in the midst of the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of God. And so those angels, they are rejoicing. And then finally, when those angels have joined in to that new song, oh, then that whole creation bursts out into singing blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Oh, then all unrighteousness is purged from the earth, and the entire universe that the Lord has created is also now giving glory unto God, unto him that sitteth upon the throne, but not only unto the Father, we read here, also unto the Lamb. And thus, not only for the creation, but then that creation is singing for the redemption of God. Say, how is that? Will the creation be included in the redemption? Because remember that the wicked are not. There are no blessings that flow to the wicked out of the sacrifice of Christ. But will now the world, the creation of God, that is a question that has been debated for many years. But most of the reformers believe that indeed the creation, this world, will be included in the redemption of the church. Paul says that the creatures of this earth are waiting for this. He says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That is not the redemption of the soul. No, it is the redemption of the body. And we do not read anywhere in the Bible that the earth will be annihilated. No, we read something in there about the purification of the earth, how that the elements, they shall burn with a fervent heat. And Peter, he says, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And John, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There was no more turmoil. Indeed, the Lord Jesus himself says that the meek shall inherit the earth. And so we hear them sing also here in our text, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh, what shall that be? What shall that be? We don't know what it shall be. We know so very, very little. We only know what is revealed to us in the Word of God. Oh, seek it. Seek it that we might find out what that shall be. But there is one thing we know. There's one thing, and we say prophecy, that is not to lay everything out as it will happen, one thing at a time, no. But there is such a comfort in it. There is such a profit to be received by it. And what is now the thing that we do know? All we do know, that sin and Satan will have no more place in that world that is to come, in heaven or upon the earth. Sin and all of its consequences are going to be removed. O congregation, is there now a people who rejoice at such a thought? We look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, so that heaven and earth are going to sing. They're going to sing together. And then this song is closed. And who closes it? Oh, then we hear it began with the redeemed. And then the angels came in. And the universe, the whole universe. And now the redeemed, we hear them in the end. Oh, they are coming in the end to give a final word. Oh, to give an everlasting closing. An everlasting closing to an eternal song. And the four beasts said, Amen. All they are, that those inner eyes, those beasts, all that is the inner being of the church of God, all they said, Amen. And when there was this rejoicing, and with the angels and the creation, everything rejoicing to the glory of God, and the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and forever. Amen. O Lord, who is able to even stammer what it shall be? We can only say such a little bit. Because there is so much hidden, but there is also what is revealed to us and to our children. O Lord, give us to love Thee, and give us to hate sin, because that is now the people who will know and will find out what that shall be, and when there shall be sin no longer. And from their eyes the tears shall be wiped away. O Lord, we beseech Thee, grant it unto each and every one of us, both young and old together. O, work Thou a revival, Lord. Could it be even in the very midst of us? We are unworthy of the least of all Thy notice or attention. But Thy dear Son, He is so worthy to receive that book, and so worthy to receive that inheritance. O Lord, in the multitude of subjects, is the honor of the King, and wilt Thou include us in that innumerable company. Dismiss us with Thy blessing. Keep us from cleaving to all that is falling away. Oh, give us to come unto Thy blessed footstool with weeping and with supplications, and that our mourning may be turned into dancing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 404, 1, 2, 3, and 5. Praise ye the Lord. In yonder heavenly height, ye angels, all His hosts, in joyful praise unite. O sun and moon, declare His might, show forth His praise, ye stars of light. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 404. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.